Welcome to Open Mic with Mike Sherboneau, the show that provides Christian insights into contemporary, moral, and ethical values, and dives deep into how your faith in Jesus changes the way you live your life. Now, here's your host, Mike Sherboneau.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Open Mic. Glad you've joined us tonight, and I hope you're happy. And if you're not, I think we've got some answers for you tonight, because if you're not happy, a lot of times it seems you get angry. And right now at the top of the show, what we want you to experience is I'd love you to call in and talk to me about why do you think people get angry? And have you ever been impacted by angry people? We're just looking for quick calls right at the beginning just to say, hey, man, I've been impacted by anger. This is what happened. Because tonight we're going to be unpacking anger from the story of the prophet Jonah in chapter 4. And helping me tonight is Dr. Andrew Blackwood. He's been on the program before, and he's calling in from the Toronto area. Andrew is a registered psychotherapist. He's an author. He's a speaker. And he's on the air right now. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Yeah, we're glad that you're here, and appreciate you calling in. And I just know we're going to have a great time tonight talking about a difficult subject. Have you ever been angry, Andrew?
I'm angry. What a stupid quite question, regularly, eh? Frequently, yes.
Okay, and I know that. Just tell us a little bit about what you do for a living. I just shared briefly, but you have a counseling service. You speak. You talk to people so much about these relational issues. And you just recently put a blog out on something. So tell us about that.
For sure, for sure. Well, for the past 15 years, I've been working with individuals, couples, families, churches, organizations, and I help people to have better relationships, to put it simply. And I am also a dad and a husband. So my work doesn't stop when I leave the office, whether that's a face-to-face session or a virtual session, because I come home and it's the real deal.
It's the real deal. How old are your kids? How old are your kids?
Six and three. I have two beautiful, intelligent, expressive, passionate, active young girls.
Does that mean they've been angry?
Oh, yes, at me. They've been angry at me today many times.
Okay, well, you're going to help us talk to parents about how to deal with that. But let me give out the numbers right now. If you're in the Buffalo area, it is 883-5000, 883-5000, or 1-800-684-2848, 1-800-684-2848. Write those numbers down, 883-5000 to all our American friends. And those in the greater Niagara Toronto area, it's 1-800-684-2848. So the question is, how have you been impacted by angry people? And a second question could be, why do you think people get angry? We got Coach Drew, and Dr. Andrew Blackwood also goes by the title Coach Drew, and we'll give out his website in a few moments. But the good coach is with us tonight, and he's going to help us to understand that. But we'd love to hear from you tonight. So feel free to interrupt us as we go along in the program this evening. Andrew, when we come to the whole thing of anger, we got an interesting story. I'm going to be teaching it tomorrow at our church called North End Church. And we're in the fourth chapter of Jonah. A lot of people remember the story of Jonah. You know, he was the guy that God said, I want you to go and speak to the people of Nineveh. He hated the people of Nineveh. All the Jews did, because it was kind of comparable to the Nazi treatment of Jews in World War II. And that's just a quick explanation. So a lot of hatred. And God says, I want you to go and tell them to repent. He doesn't want to do that because he knows God's a gracious God and the people will repent. And he's thinking, shoot, he wants them to burn in hell. That's just his gut feeling.
He really wanted
them to suffer. Yeah. So, because of what they had done. And we need to unpack that with you. What's legitimate anger and what's illegitimate and how does it change us? But God's telling them what to do. You'd think that if God came and spoke to us, all of us would say, yeah, I'd be right. You know, I'd be all over that. I'd want to do something about that right away. But not that so. So he goes the farthest away that he possibly can from Nineveh, which is Tarshish, which is really, then they thought the earth was flat, as about as far away as you could get. And And now, you know, the story, sometimes people think it's about the fish because he gets on the ship, God lets a storm come up. Is that what it's all about? The sailors at Jonah's bidding throw him overboard and a fish swallows him. You know, someone has said there you can run away from God, but there you can't run away from him. You can try to run away, but there are no runaways.
Right.
And God just kept track with him. And I love that thought that God didn't let him go. And now the fish vomits him up on the dry land. Hey, you got two kids. I've had five. It is just no fun cleaning up puke, is it? He's one messy dude. And there he is. Oh, man, that fish was probably just glad to get rid of him. And he reluctantly goes and preaches. And sure enough, the people repent. There is just like what a lot of people would call a revival. People are getting right with God. The king gets right with God. And God relents. And Jonah sits on a hill now. We find him sulking, saying, God, this is, I knew exactly what you're going to do. I didn't want to be here. And the funny thing about chapter 4, and then I'll be done, Andrew, I'll come back to you, is that while Jonah is sitting out there, God wants to teach him a lesson. And it's all about his anger. And as he's sitting up there, it is hot. And he is just waiting and hoping that God's going to, you know, blast the Ninevites. But that's not going to happen. So to ease his shade, God allows a fast-growing gourd, a plant with the big leaves, to grow up and give him shade. And I can see Jonah sitting there probably wishing he had a pina colada or a margarita or something, just relaxing, you know, there and waiting for God to come in judgment. And guess what happens? God allows the gourd to die. A worm kills it. And the next day, there is just a blistering east wind and the sun is hot. And Jonah says, I want to die again. This guy tried to kill himself a couple times and to no avail. And then finally God says, why are you angry? And he says, I got every right to be angry. So what's that all about, coach? He says, I got every right to be angry. And God says, you care more about the plant that died because now you're uncomfortable than the fact that there's a city filled with 120,000 children, it says, who don't know their left hand from their right. So imagine children basically like yours. Young children. And he said, and then their parents. And he said, Jonah, he said, people matter more than plants. That's God's number one agenda, is that he cares for people. So that's the story in a nutshell. And it's a story that with, there's all sorts of themes, but one of the big themes in chapter 4 is Jonah's anger. Coach, I want you to talk to us about anger for a moment. Let me give out the numbers again. 883-5000. 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area, or 1-800-684-2848. 1-800-684-2848. We'd love to have a whole bunch of you weigh in tonight on your thoughts on anger, but basically, why do people get angry? Maybe some of you this weekend have been impacted by angry people. And how have you been impacted? And you know, Coach, I'll start it off. I knew someone was angry at me recently and very close to me, and I didn't know why. And I got to admit, it really caused me to lose a bit of sleep. And and that's hard. And you think, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. So anger, when people get angry and bitter, and I found out they had wrong information. And they had nursed this thing against me, even though they were close. It wasn't a major thing, but it was enough that when you really love someone, you don't want that irritant there. And they had all the wrong information. So there's my own little story from this, you know, the last couple of weeks. So anger, but it can be so much worse than that, can it?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, one of the misconceptions that we have is that anger is bad and that it's wrong to feel angry. I don't think that's true. I think when what we do when we feel angry, that's what brings us into trouble, right? You know, so you talked about...
Well, you're going to have to explain that. Okay.
Okay, well, the way I see it, there's anger. Anger is an emotion like any other. It's not bad, and it's not good. It's neutral, right? It might... What we do when we feel those emotions, right? Emotions can be appropriate for the situation. So if my dog dies, I'm going to feel sad. Although it's an unpleasant emotion, it makes sense, right? If I ask my daughter not to do something and she blatantly chooses to do it, I'm going to feel angry. Is there something wrong with feeling angry? No. However, if I don't manage that anger well, if I don't address her in love, even though I'm still angry, that's where we run into the problems.
Okay.
So you talked about this person nursing this story, right? I imagine that this person didn't come directly to you to clarify, to seek clarity, to say, is this true? Or this is how I'm feeling. This is what's going through my mind. And that's you mentioned the course that I released recently online, and it's about living life the assertive way, and that's what it's all about. A lot of people have difficulty managing their emotions because they haven't really sorted out what this is, and they don't know how to bring it to someone, how to get clarity, how to speak with somebody about their emotions, because most of these emotions are unpleasant and they're hard for us to deal with.
So hey, have you noticed this? Because I mean, a characteristic of me, I think this is a common thing. When you're angry or upset at someone, then you begin to create all sorts of arguments in your mind to validate why you should remain angry. Is that not true? Or am I just desperately in need of counsel?
No. You're 100% right. I think most of us do that. We want to reinforce the legitimacy of our anger. And I'm sure Jonah was the same way. That's why he didn't want to go. He didn't want to tell the people, listen, if you repent, if you turn to God, he will save you. He probably just wanted to see the result of them not repenting, right? He wanted to see them suffer, which is where a lot of us find ourselves when we don't forgive. Because often at the core of anger, like beneath anger is usually a secondary emotion. So when we're feeling anger, there's usually stuff beneath it, like hurt, or if I felt disrespected, or even if I'm feeling sad, what I will feel more readily and more comfortably is the anger, when that doesn't help when we go to approach someone. So we want to recognize, okay, what's beneath that anger? How am I feeling? Why am I feeling that way? And what do I want to do about this situation that will still honor God?
Okay, so let's just take that and develop a little bit more. And let me remind you, you're listening to Open Mic with Mike Schirbeneau. The call-in line is 883-5000 in the greater Buffalo area, or 1-800-684-2848. I'm here with Dr. Andrew Blackwood. We call him Coach Drew. And we're talking about anger. Have you ever been angry? Or has someone in anger done something to you that's hurt you? We'd love to hear from you tonight. Just pick up the phone. You got two fingers and a heartbeat. Just dial that number, 1-800-684-2848, and make a contribution. Or I could get angry if you don't. So what about that? Andrew, we can allow situations to dictate to us. I want to come back in a moment. But, you know, if you're just stoic and you're there, we know there's different ways to respond to anger, right? You can suppress it, you can express it, or you can just kind of simmer away. What's the good and bad of all of that? Because we know it can be so destructive.
Well, you know, I think we find ourselves finding it difficult to be in the middle. We often passively say, okay, you know what, we sweep it under the rug, I won't address it. And that's often because we don't know how, or we fear the outcome of doing that, or we bottle it, like you said, some of us, until we can't hold it anymore. And then we end up being aggressive, whether it's physically or, you know, just verbally. Sometimes that verbal aggression doesn't even have to be directly to the person. That's why we end up sometimes gossiping about other people. We're talking about a situation because we're legitimately angry, but we're not talking directly to the person. So, you know, it happens. And for the most part, most of the times, I think our anger is legitimate. People are not perfect. They will do things to upset us, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally. That's the whole purpose of the genuine apology, right? It's going to happen, but how do we respond? Do we know how to manage ourselves and go with grace and be clear? clear with people about, you know, what they've done and how we want things to be moving forward. And that's often the missing piece that people benefit from receiving guidance around.
Okay. Well, Coach Drew, we're going to come back after a short break, and we're going to ask you to walk us through some of those steps. And I'd like you to think about, first of all, how do you recognize the warning signs when anger is warping your life, warping your perspective? What are the warning signs? And then what do we do to deal with it? You're listening to Open Mic with Mike Sherboneau. I got Coach Andrew Blackwood on the line tonight, and we'd love to hear from you, but we're going to be right back after this short break.
WDCX is expanding, and we have a new full-time opening for the position of promotions coordinator. We're looking for a qualified candidate who has experience in event, social, and digital promotion. This position requires someone who is highly organized with good planning skills and has creative expertise in social and digital media. If you feel you're the person we're looking for to fill the position of promotions coordinator, please send your resume to WDCX, 625 Delaware Avenue, Suite 308, Buffalo, New York, 14202, or email your resume to info@wdcxradio.com. That's info@wdcxradio.com. WDCX is an equal opportunity employer.
Transformation is a new program airing on Vision TV. Transformation features Dr. Mike Sherboneau interviewing people dealing with the stuff of life. Hear the riveting stories of the well-known Joes to the ordinary Joes as you find help for this journey called life. Some of those are Kim Fook, Dr. Grant Mullen, and Dr. Andrew Blackwood. Anchoring this program is the solid Bible teaching that Mike gives, providing you direction, inspiration, and answers to the moral dilemmas society is facing. Airing on Vision TV across Canada, watch it live on Thursdays at 11:30 a.m., Friday at 7:30 a.m., and Sundays at 1:30 p.m. Or go to MikeSherboneau.org and download your favorite episode today.
Join us for Northfest, a festival happening Labor Day weekend, September 1st at 10:30 a.m. Northfest is sponsored by your friends at North End Church and will be held in the beautiful grounds of the 13th Street Winery in St. Catharines. Northfest is a festival of your favorite worship music, live bands, outdoor kids programs, and a message by Pastor Mike. Oh, and by the way, did I mention food? That's right, a barbecue and a corn boil are just some of the things that you'll enjoy while attending Northfest. Are you looking for a church to connect with this fall? Well, then join us at Northfest. Sunday, September 1st will be a festival you won't want to miss. It's all happening at the 13th Street Winery, outdoors under the Big Tent. For details and information, make sure you check us out at northendchurch.ca.
Welcome back to Open Mic with Mike Sherboneau. Have a question for Mike? Phone lines are open. Call now at 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm really glad tonight that Coach Andrew Blackwood is with us. Andrew, are you still there?
I'm right here.
That's good. And, wow, you know what? We're going to talk a little bit more now about anger. And, you know, Dr. Gary Oliver has written on this whole subject. He talks about the fact that when we're so angry, we need to face it. And then we got to find it. What's the root of the anger? And then we got to figure it out. And that's why I'm glad you're on the program tonight, because you're going to help us do all three, right?
Awesome. I'm ready.
Okay, so what are the warning lights when anger, when we're getting warped by anger? You know, that flashing red light on your dash? You want to put your finger over it and ignore it, and then the engine seizes. So what are some of the warning signals that you see when people are dealing or not dealing with their anger?
Are you talking about from the perspective of somebody looking at you, or are you talking about you looking at yourself?
Wow, that's a searching question. Let's talk about you looking at yourself.
Okay, so if we're looking at ourselves, some of the things that we're going to notice are our breathing is going to change. Now, okay. For some people, their heart rate gets faster. For some people, their breathing gets shallow. Some people, they lose sleep. We're not thinking straight. We can't get this topic off of our minds, right? Literally, our blood is boiling. Those are some of the signs.
Okay.
All right. Those are some of the typical signs for anger. But
what about
again,
the signs where it's been long term, like when it was just something happened to you? Maybe you were abused as a teenager or something like that, and it goes beneath the surface. How do you recognize that?
You know, often the stuff that we bury, we don't even realize that we're angry about it, right? So we ignore it, and then we push on and we press on. But one of the signs that there's something there is we find ourselves in similar situations. It might be with different people, but it's the same kind of dynamic. Okay, what's going on? You know, that's a question we should ask ourselves. We often look at, you know, this person did this to me, this person did that to me. But chances are there's something that's unresolved that we can look at so we can engage with others differently.
So if something seems to be repeating the nature, sometimes the people we're involved with. I mean, as a pastor, I've seen people when they've broken up in a relationship, they seem to find someone who's almost similar. The second time
right.
around, or tragically, even the third
right.
time round.
Right. And
why,
you know,
is, it, why
a lot
is
of,
that? Is it because something has oftentimes never been dealt with?
Yes, there's often an unresolved matter. I sometimes the stuff goes back to childhood experiences. I call, you know, there's a family thermostat. There's a family culture that we come from. So even if whatever we've experienced isn't healthy or isn't good, that's what's familiar to us. That's what's normal to us. So we gravitate to that. And when we enter intimate relationships, we recreate that sense of familiarity, that dynamic. We kind of, again, we gravitate towards that. So unless we become aware of what that is and intentionally start to change that dial 1 degree at a time, and you don't have to leave the relationship to do that. You can change the dynamic in there. From
is there specific things you can do? How do you start to change that? What, do you have any suggestions?
For sure. Well, you know, awareness is the key, number one. What's going on? Start to recognize the pattern. You know me, Mike. I like to write things down. I like to, it really helps to clarify the thoughts and the feelings that are going through my mind. So you write down the pattern. And my wife and I, when we were a couple years into our marriage, and we realized, you know, on Sunday mornings, we would often find ourselves in conflict. So there was the pattern. What is going on here? What's this about? And, you know, it took us a while to figure it out, but she realized that, you know, she needed the house to be a certain way on Sunday mornings because that's the family that she grew up in.
Okay.
And if the house wasn't neat, if it wasn't ready to go, she would not feel like her normal self. So
she wanted those safe boundaries in her mind. This is how she presented herself. Wasn't that part of it?
Right. This is what's normal, right? It was a family culture thing. And I was okay for there to be a couple dishes in the sink. I'll be honest with you. I'm okay to leave a couple dishes in the sink at night. And sometimes it's, you know, family culture. Sometimes it's, you know, individual core values, whatever it was. But then
yeah.
we had to work that out. Okay, really, how significant this is that to you? And once she became aware of it, it was much easier for her to let that go, but it was also much easier for me to be, oh, okay, this is what this is about. Okay, let's do this. We create a plan
okay.
and we can move. So we can change that dial.
I got to ask you a question. Do you squeeze the toothpaste in the middle or do you roll it up?
because
those little things tick people off, don't they? It's a great illustration about the dishes, man. I'm just like you. I could sleep perfectly well with 3 or 4 dishes in the sink, but my wife can't. I mean, she'd be cleaning up after parties late at night on a Saturday night. Everything was done. The house, she'd start vacuuming at 1 a.m. because it had to all be finished. Okay.
And, you know, and there's such great wisdom and benefit in that because you wake up in the morning, you have nothing to do. But on the other hand, I'm a morning person. I have enough energy to run around the block 10 times first thing in the morning. I'm good to go. So dishes are no problem for me in the morning. So finding our way to negotiate that helped us to figure out, okay, what's our new family culture? What are we going to be doing here? You know, where's the give and take? But recognizing that pattern is important.
Well, as you talk about that, I can think back to all sorts of faces of people that I've chatted with. And either the husband or the wife ignored what was a big issue for their spouse. And a lot of times it was the guy. And he just ignored and said, whatever, this isn't important. And so she felt devalued. It leads to a depression. Sometimes it's almost an anger underneath.
Right.
I think of talking to a lady very recently. She said, well, what good is it going to do? Nothing is going to change. I'm just going to be unhappy the rest of my life. And I thought, So is there anger in all of that? Or is it, is depression and anger linked?
There's going to be anger. There's going to be resentment in situations like that. And a large part of the time is when, if we don't clearly identify what the issue is, when we go to somebody, we're going to go with this long story and give all these details. And a lot of times, people are impatient. They're not going to want to sit through all that. Now, I've, my personality, my training, I'm ready to sit. I'm ready to listen for hours on end. I'm okay with that. But not a lot of people are. So if you don't know what the issue is, it's going to make that conversation a lot more difficult. And then there's also a missing piece once you find out what it is. A lot of people race to the conversation, and they don't forgive before they start to talk to the person that they're angry with.
Okay.
And that's a problem, Mike. That's a big problem.
Big problem. Let's jump back for a minute. Let's, before we come to the next break, let's just talk a little bit about this guy, Jonah. I'm going to be preaching on him tomorrow. Why did Jonah not deal with his anger? I mean, as I read through the passage, it seems that he recognizes that he's angry. At least you would think that if God said, hey, you're angry, that he would say, oh, gulp. Sorry, God, I shouldn't be so angry. Will you help me with this? So
Again, I don't think the issue was that he was angry. I think it was that he didn't address that anger, and he didn't understand what was at the core of it. So my perspective of this story, yes, there was a history between his people and the people of Nineveh, and it was not a good history. So he wanted them to suffer. He wanted them to die and be annihilated. And if that was the case, then he would be angry with God for wanting to spare them, right? He might have been, you know, an advocate for justice. God, this is not fair. This is just not fair. Like, you're going to let these people get away with this? So he wanted to put his agenda ahead of God's, and that's going to be a problem.
Is he more angry with God in this situation than with Nineveh, or is it both?
I think it's both. I think it's both, which is why that whole piece about forgiveness is so important. We can be right about a situation and make ourselves wrong anyways because we don't forgive or we approach it in a way that isn't representative of who God made us to be, and it's not a good representation of God's heart.
Okay. Just before we take our next break, we're going to keep talking about anger from the book of Jonah. You're listening to Open Mic with me, Mike Tribunal, and Dr. Andrew Blackwood. And Coach Drew, as we often refer to him, is with us. And Andrew, just talk to us about what forgiveness looks like. You've mentioned it a couple times. I know you've written a book called The Art of the Genuine Apology, and talk to us for a moment about forgiveness, because not everyone's going to listen through for the full hour, and we're going to talk more about that later on, but just give us some thoughts on forgiveness in connection with dealing with our anger.
Certainly. So there are some myths about forgiveness. People think forgiveness is easy. People think it's quick. People think it's a one-shot deal. However, it is a process. We forgive and we forgive and we forgive and we forgive again. And it doesn't require new incidences. It's every time we're reminded about that situation, it's an opportunity to forgive. So the process is involving, it involves saying, you know, this is what I want to forgive. Not just the action, but you want to forgive the impact. What did this situation cost you? What did you lose? How did it change your life? Unless we really understand the depth of our pain, then our forgiveness is going to be shallow. The deeper our understanding, the deeper the forgiveness. So a lot of people do it because it's a biblical standard, I forgive you, but they don't realize what that hurt really cost them. And then once we do that, then we can lift that to God. The other person doesn't even need to know that we've forgiven them or not, but it's about me letting that go. I let that go, and I give it to God, and then I'm ready to to address the issue with the other person.
Wow. That's very helpful. Very helpful. We're going to be right back after a short break. You're listening to Open Mic with Mike Sherbino. We're talking about anger out of the life of Jonah with our special guest, Dr. Andrew Blackwood. We're going to be right back after these informative commercials. You're going to love listening to what's coming up next.
Join us for Northfest, a festival happening Labor Day weekend, September 1st at 10:30 a.m. Northfest is sponsored by your friends at North End Church and will be held in the beautiful grounds of the 13th Street Winery in St. Catharines. Northfest is a festival of your favorite worship music, live bands, outdoor kids programs, and a message by Pastor Mike. Oh, and by the way, did I mention food? That's right, a barbecue and a corn boil are just some of the things that you'll enjoy while attending Northfest. Are you looking for a church to connect with this fall? Well then, join us at Northfest. Sunday, September 1st will be a festival you won't want to miss. It's all happening at the 13th Street Winery, outdoors under the Big Tent. For details and information, make sure you check us out at northendchurch.ca.
Transformation is a new program airing on Vision TV. Transformation features Dr. Mike Sherbino interviewing people dealing with the stuff of life. Hear the riveting stories of the well-known Joes to the ordinary Joes as you find help for this journey called life. Some of those are Kim Fook, Dr. Grant Mullen, and Dr. Andrew Blackwood. Anchoring this program is the solid Bible teaching that Mike gives, providing you direction, inspiration, and answers to the moral dilemmas society is facing. Airing on Vision TV across Canada, watch it live on Thursdays at 11:30 a.m., Friday at 7:30 a.m., and Sundays at 1:30 p.m. Or go to MikeSherbino.org and download your favorite episode today.
Welcome back to Open Mic with Mike Sherbino. Have a question for Mike? Phone lines are open. Call now at 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
Hey, we're glad you're with us tonight. This is Mike Sherbino, and again, my special guest is Andrew Blackwood. Andrew, I was just reading during the commercial break there a little thing about anger and talking about when is professional help needed. And the writer says, learning to control anger is a challenge for everyone at times. And consider seeking help for anger issues if your anger seems out of control or causes you to do things you regret, hurts those around you, or is taking a toll on your personal relationships. Now, I know that as a counselor, you can't disclose or break confidentiality, but just give us a general picture of some of the damage that you have seen in your practice as you've dealt with people because of anger, unresolved anger issues.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, sometimes when so much of the hurt that I see in families has a lot to do with poor communication, unhealthy communication. And when there is a lot of anger in the relationships, that breaks down the communication even more. So whether it's between a parent and a teen and that communication gets broken down, I've seen it to the point where that teen is, you know, suicidal, attempts to take their life because they're so angry. They're so hurt. They don't see the options. They can't win. The parent is always right, you know, so that makes it dangerous. And then, you know, even in couple relationships, I've seen, again, remember that anger is also a secondary emotion. I've seen such deep hurt that, you know, the anger flares up to the point where it becomes physical, right? You know, people have been sitting in this place of tension and resentment and frustration for so long that it boils over.
You know, a lot of times I've discovered that some common roots to anger include fear, pain, and frustration. Those things can all cause it to build. I want you to talk to me for a moment about why fear is one of the roots of anger. I'm trying to understand that. And, you know,
okay,
and
so
we know that it's manifested, but help me to understand that. And I want to then talk about pain, like the pain I've experienced in the past. Because I can talk about that in a moment, but let's just start with fear. And then I want to talk about pain and then frustration, those three little words. Because you've interfaced a lot of those things tonight.
Definitely. When we're afraid of situations, for starters, it disrupts our healthy functioning. We don't sleep well. We don't eat well. We don't think clearly. we're not going to be at our best. So we roll over into anger sometimes, and we don't manage ourselves well. But part of the anger is also, especially if it's a legitimate thing that we're afraid of, it's a self-protective measure. We want to protect ourselves from what we're afraid of.
Oh, okay. So if I can be afraid of something, well, then I got to get myself psyched up, and the anger can start to fuel a different emotion. Is that correct? Am I hearing you right?
Yeah, it can activate us to protect ourselves. And I'm sure you can see how that's a good thing. Like if my child is running out, you know, into the middle of the street, fear is not going to necessarily be the ultimate thing that's going to help me save them, right? It might activate me, but a better example would be if somebody is approaching me, you know, in an unsafe way or approaching my child in an unsafe way. Of course, I'm going to be concerned, but it's going to be that anger that's going to help me to address the situation.
I mean, you talked about writing things out. Would it be a good thing to write out your fears so you can at least sit and reflect upon it and say, okay, if I'm afraid, how am I reacting as a result of it? Would you ever write something like that?
Yes, I have a lot of fears, Mike. I get afraid of things a lot. And what I find is as I write them out, I realize most of the things that I'm afraid of, I need not be afraid of them. Either they're really not likely going to happen, or I can actually address them. And that's the beauty of moving from worry to concern. When you're worried, you're just spinning your wheels. But when you realize what the issue is, then it turns into concern. Okay, is this a legitimate concern? Okay, then I can create a plan. What can I do to address this concern? And writing all that out really helps me.
Wow. Andrew, I only have one fear. I'm only afraid of one thing.
What's that?
You're supposed to say, what's that? Yeah, live radio. Ha ha, I thought I set you up for that one. Okay, all right, so fear is the one thing. Another root of anger, it comes out of our pain. And, I fell last night and I hit my elbow. So yeah, I got the pain, but it's going to go away. But that's not often what happens in relationship. How do I deal with the pain of relationships so that I'm not becoming angry? And I'm a person who was taught to keep it in and never to show it. And what would happen is it would build up. I was quite intrigued physically when I was in my 20s, my blood pressure, and I was very, at least I thought I was pretty athletic, pretty active. My blood pressure was always on the high side in normal. And I have to wonder if some of it was because of how I was taught to keep things in. And I never expressed my pain. Dealt with a lot of rejection, dealt with a lot of disappointment. And probably some unresolved things with my own parents because of what they didn't let me do. And never letting me, kind of an oppressive situation. Talk to me about that. What about our pain?
So, you know what? It's interesting because that family culture of we don't talk about our pain is very common. And it's especially common from children to adults, right? You have no voice here. You're seen and not heard, that kind of deal. So you're not alone in that. And I think one of the worst parts about that, Mike, is it invalidates our experience. Your pain doesn't matter. And that erodes somebody's sense of self, their sense of worth, their sense of purpose and direction in life. It can cut pretty deep. So if we don't realize what that is and start to voice that, even if it's not to that person directly at first, but when we voice that to someone, and that's a lot of what happens when I meet with people, they share their story and I get it. I'm like, yeah, I can see why you were hurt. I could see why you were angry. You know, there's a sense of validation. The person's like, okay, so I'm not crazy. Or they might be like, okay, so that does matter. Okay, I do matter. That part of me does matter. And that's where the healing starts to happen. Even before we address the person that we're hurt or angry with, it's important that we validate our experience.
Wow. You know, as I'm thinking about what you're talking about, I keep having flashbacks to this guy, Jonah, and his interesting story. I can't help but wonder, we're not told any of this, it's only speculation, if pain was part of what caused Jonah to be so angry. Can't help but wonder if he had relatives or family members who had been killed or violated by the Ninevites. I mean, it was atrocious what had happened to people. And, you know, as you think about that, you know, that whole thing of vengeance, sometimes that plays a big part of our anger. You know, I'm gonna take care of business. I'm not gonna wait for God. And here's Jonah as a preacher. God says, I want you to come and preach a message of forgiveness and they'll repent. And Jonah's thinking, no way. No way do I want those people to repent and experience God's forgiveness. Because Jonah actually says to God, I got to read this in chapter 4. Jonah says, he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. You didn't want to bring disaster on the people. So then he says, Lord, take my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Mm-hmm. And the Lord says, do you do well to be so angry, Jonah? Like, come on, give yourself a shake. But he couldn't enter in to that whole divine prerogative of God to show love. I mean, I want to be loved by God. I want to be forgiven. But the person who has done me in, I'd like them to just to rot. That's the human part of me, right?
Yeah.
And suddenly we're come to grips with a whole big issue. Confronting our anger is the compassion and the forgiveness of God. It's mind-boggling for me. What I think mind-boggling for me is that Jonah could recite all the different things about the character of God, his compassion, his forgiveness, his steadfast love. And yet he could talk about it, but he's saying, please don't show it to them. Pain had to be something. Hey, before we go to the next break, I want you to talk to me about a third root of anger. And that's got to be frustration. We get so frustrated. I remember my dad, he would control his anger so well, but there'd be points he would get frustrated. And, you know, it would probably be once a year, and there would just be a meltdown when things would drive him up the wall. He'd hold it in and hold it in. And maybe I learned that from him. How do you deal with frustration?
How do we address that
with regards to pain? With regards to our anger.
I never met your dad, Mike, but he is my hero. Frustrated once a year? Oh, my word. I get frustrated multiple times a day. Now,
but he hit it.
Okay. So he hit it. Okay. Then maybe he won't be my hero today. But, you know, I think for myself and for many people, frustration is directly connected to expectations. Now, sometimes our expectations, they are clear, they are fair, and they're just not met. But most of the times, our frustrations, they're not met because they're not clear and they're not realistic.
Wow. Okay, so how do we get the wake-up call for all of that?
Well, I mean, you know when you're frustrated and you know when you lose it. So if you've ever lost it, you had your wake-up call, right?
Okay.
One of the things you can do is subscribe to my YouTube channel because I talk about this on there. You know, Coach Drew Can on YouTube. But one of the ways to really move away from frustration and resentment is to understand what your expectations are. Again, I caught myself saying my expectations out loud one day. I said to my 3-year-old daughter then, I want you to stop jumping on the bed. I expect better from you. You're three years old. when those words came out of my mouth, I'm like, well, three-year-olds, they jump on the bed. That's what they do.
Well, right? We're going to do the show over again when she's 15. I just want to hear what you're going to say then.
Right, I'll have different expectations then. We always have expectations, but those expectations are not always clear to us. And when we verbalize them, when we write them down, when we make them explicit, we have a better shot at seeing whether or not they're fair, whether they're realistic, are they appropriate for this situation, for this person, for this point in time. And a lot of times, even our family rules, our rules for our teens, our rules for, you know, our kids, sometimes they're based on, you know, standards and values, but then they're not really appropriate for that person and that time.
Okay. Drew, we're going to be right back. We got to take a short break. This is Open Mic with Mike Sherboneau. I got Coach Drew, Dr. Andrew Blackwood, the famous Dr. Andrew Blackwood, who's with us tonight. And we're talking about the whole subject of anger. And we're going to be right back after this short break.
Transformation is a new program airing on Vision TV. Transformation features Dr. Mike Sherboneau interviewing people dealing with the stuff of life. Hear the riveting stories of the well-known Joes to the ordinary Joes as you find help for this journey called life. Some of those are Kim Fuke, Dr. Grant Mullen, and Dr. Andrew Blackwood. Anchoring this program is the solid Bible teaching that Mike gives, providing you direction, inspiration, and answers to the moral dilemmas society is facing. Airing on Vision TV across Canada, watch it live on Thursdays at 11:30 a.m., Friday at 7:30 a.m., and Sundays at 1:30 p.m. Or go to MikeSherboneau.org and download your favorite episode today.
Join us for Northfest, a festival happening Labor Day weekend, September 1st at 10:30 a.m. Northfest is sponsored by your friends at North End Church and will be held in the beautiful grounds of the 13th Street Winery in St. Catharines. Northfest is a festival of your favorite worship music, live bands, outdoor kids programs, and a message by Pastor Mike. Oh, and by the way, did I mention food? That's right, a barbecue and a corn boil are just some of the things that you'll enjoy while attending Northfest. Are you looking for a church to connect with this fall? Well, then join us at Northfest. Sunday, September 1st will be a festival you won't want to miss. It's all happening at the 13th Street Winery, outdoors under the Big Tent. For details and information, make sure you check us out at northendchurch.ca.
Welcome back to Open Mic with Mike Sherboneau. Have a question for Mike? Phone lines are open. Call now at 800-684-2848 or 883-5000.
And we're glad you're back with us, everybody. And Andrew, I've been enjoying so much sharing this program with you tonight. I find you always bring great insights that are helpful. And that's what we want to do. We want to help people in their journey. As we're talking about anger tonight, Andrew, I just want to give out my website. It's very simple, MikeSherboneau.org. And Sherboneau is S-H-E-R-B-I-N-O. But if you go to that website, you'll find a place that's called Click on a Mentor. And there, if you want, you can talk anonymously to people who are trained online. And they will help to, they'll first listen. They will walk with you through whatever the issue you're facing, whether it's discouragement, depression, maybe it's a divorce you're going through. I don't know. But you know what? We're here. We want to help you. And we want to let you know that your situation is not beyond God's control. And we really believe in the miraculous power to restore relationships. So, Andrew, as we're talking tonight, we've been talking about the book of Jonah. Jonah missed out on a huge opportunity to be a cheerleader for what God was going to do. Because God shows up in all his glory, the forgiving, loving God, and he does forgive the people of Nineveh for their horrific crimes. But Jonah doesn't enjoy the moment at all. I know that you're a cheerleader, Andrew, for relationships getting resolved. What do you say when people come in with anger issues? Sometimes I know that anger can be spelled out in forms of depression. I mean, sometimes it can be in substance abuse, and it's almost like they're beating themselves up. They're punishing themselves. Sometimes it's addictive behavior. How do you speak into those people? Where do you start? Maybe there's someone listening tonight just saying, oh, okay, Mike just described me, and they're just desperate tonight. what would be the what are the first things you say to people? You know, they come in and they at least admit, say, okay, I know I got anger problems. Where do you go from there?
Right. Well, you know, the fact that they're aware that they have anger problems is a good thing. You figure out what it is that they want, what it is that they want to do instead, and it's important. How can they keep themselves safe? That is important. And once we come up with being safe, then we can really spend some time understanding what that anger is about. A lot of the time, it's been a long
talk about safe. Talk about safe. What do you mean by safe? I think you hit on something there.
Well, you know, it depends on the situation, because sometimes when we get angry, we hurt other people, and that's not safe for them, but nor is it safe for us. Very rarely, you know, are the people who are angry proud about how they treated people afterwards, and they're not being the best versions of themselves, and they're doing themselves disservice, you know, whether that's, you know, physically hurting someone or, you know, sometimes, like you mentioned before, anger can roll over into depression or substance use. But usually at the core of that, there's shame, there's depression, right? There's some unresolved stuff that people haven't voiced, and they haven't experienced healing there.
You know, as you're talking about that, I got an interesting quote, and I just want to know if you'd agree. It's on depression, but it says, anger can be a symptom of depression, which is characterized as ongoing feelings of sadness and loss of interest lasting at least 2 weeks. So, Dr. Blackwood, is that a fair assessment from your perspective, that anger is a symptom of depression?
Yes.
You know, rather than being explosive, there's the feelings of sadness and loss of interest.
Yes. But also hopelessness and frustration. When I was working, you know, for years in children's mental health, it's hard to remember a depressed teen who wasn't angry about something, whether that was how they were treated or that they believed life wasn't fair, that they didn't believe they would be able to succeed or even ever beat depression, right? There's that anger. There's that hopelessness and the inability to see the options and the possibilities beyond this current situation.
Let's do our best with God's help in these final few minutes tonight to help people. I know you've worked a lot in the past. You just mentioned it with children and with youth. What are some of the common mistakes parents make with younger children that causes anger in their lives? So let's help the kids. So what can we do as parents?
One of the things that we can do better, I think, as parents is listen and not just assume that we know what our children are going through and what they're going to say. Let's listen, hear them out, and repeat back to them what it is that we hear them say. Not whether or not we agree with them, not what we believe that they should do automatically, but hear them out, understand where they're coming from, and then we can create a plan together about how we move forward. That's number one. But number
what
two,
age? What age does that start at?
I think that starts at any age. As soon as the child is able to speak and comprehend, it's important to give them the sense that what they have to contribute is worthwhile. That doesn't mean you as a parent don't have authority, don't have the last say. There's a whole bunch of room for guidance. And I think that's important because it ties into the whole idea of esteem. God created us. We're fearfully and wonderfully made and uniquely loved by Him. And that ties into the second thing that we miss out on a lot on as parents. We don't know our children well as individuals. Every child is different, so the way that you parent one child is likely going to be very different than you parent the other child. And we often parent out of how we were parented, whether we like it or not. And it's a one-size-fits-all approach that doesn't fit. It doesn't work. So understanding who your child is, what their gifts are, what their challenges are, and then parenting in accordance with that, as well as what God's revealing to you about who this child is, what He has planned for them, what He loves about them. We want to see those things, and we want to nurture them. We want to cultivate them, because often the very thing that drives us up the wall is the very thing that God gave them as a gift. And we want to find ways to appreciate those things, nurture them, and guide them so that they can fulfill their God-given purpose.
You know, there are two good books out on that subject, and they're based on the five love languages. There's one on the five love languages for children, and there's one for the five love languages for teenagers, apart from the one for couples. And I know what an insight that was for me in realizing, because I have five daughters. So, and you know, just my luck, every one of them's got a different love language. But, you know, in the early days, I just figured, you know, one size fits all, but that is not the case. And even how we'd have to deal with difficult moments, you know, they're all so different, so unique. Talk to me for a moment to help parents who've got a teenager who is shut down in depression. Maybe they're angry because stuff has happened. I work, I know you do, with a lot of single parents. And sometimes when they're a teenager, they start to wear a lot of different feelings. And it's, I think a lot of times it's unrepressed anger, just down deep. What do you say to those, that group?
Wow.
I'm really stepping in tonight. Yeah, we're getting your money's worth out of you tonight. Actually, you're doing this out of the genuine greatness, the genuineness of your heart. So I'm grateful you're on the program. But how do we help teenagers? That's my question.
Well, again, that comes back to knowing them, because depression in one teenager might be look different and be sourced different than another. But I think it's always good to start with listening. And, you know, I've never met anybody who wanted to be depressed.
Good.
And when we acknowledge that the depression that they're experiencing, even at the lack of progress, the lack of engagement in life, nobody wants to experience that. And when we start to see it as suffering, and it's not an intentional, self-sabotaging, then we can start to be a little bit closer to joining them and being on the same side of them. It's very different walking alongside someone than trying to pull someone along. And pulling teens isn't very effective. Sometimes when we find other people to come alongside them, it works, it helps. One teen that I know, his parents were adamant, and I agree that getting out and exercising, although it was taxing and difficult, was hard for him to do. He didn't believe he could do it. They kept pushing and supporting, and they got him a trainer. They could afford to do that. And that was one of the things that really helped him start to move out. So thinking outside the box, thinking beyond the depression, but being able to appreciate it by being there with them is important.
So interesting. Well, Andrew, as we're unpacking this whole thing of anger, we got about a minute left in the show tonight. I am reminded of something else, especially as to those who are listening tonight, is that we're responsible at the end of the day for our emotional outbursts. And that's what God said to Jonah. He said, what right do you have to be so angry? And we would do ourselves a great disservice if we continue to go through life with our anger as opposed to dealing with it. I do know this, Andrew, that God does love us, that he can give us the power, the wisdom to change, to discover a new day. How wonderful it would be to wake up not being angry, not being grumpy, but just saying, this is the day that God's given to me. I'm going to rejoice in it. Sometimes people do stuff that has hurt us deeply, but God is able to forgive us. He's able to make all things new. You've been listening to Open Mic tonight with Mike Sherboneau. Thank you so much.